You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
Good morning. I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 will be in verses 25 through 29. Hebrews 12, 25 through 29. Let's read. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Father, this is your word. This is your living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword word spoken to us, speaking to us this morning. May we come in reverence and awe under your word. Let your word come over us and speak goodness and everlasting life and ever-increasing joy. Let my words be few. Let my words be forgotten. Let your words be rooted deep in us. Help us to see. Father, apart from your spirit, we cannot even see. Apart from your grace in your spirit, we can't even hear. And so we need you more than we even realize. In this moment, in every moment, as we open up your word and we look at what your treasures have for us. So I pray, I ask, Father, you would come. Be with us as we look at your word. We pray it all in your Son's precious name. Amen. Have you ever been so busy that you find yourself listening but not really listening? Listening but not listening. I find myself kind of in a busy season right now where I'm behind on the times. Like there's so many events, so many progressions in the world that I'm not aware of. Like I'm in the mornings, I'm trying to get ready and I've got the news on and I catch bits and pieces of it, but I don't have like the fullness of it. And so I'll find myself in conversations with people and I want to speak into a thing and I can't because I haven't listened to the whole thing. And so I usually come off sounding like a fool or just not helpful. But have you found yourself in those kind of moments where you're listening to things, but you're not really listening? I can't. Yeah. One person. Wow. Remarkable. So you guys have a lot to teach us, too. I can't help but think of this example from the Southwest flight that happened a couple months ago. The one with the engine failure, and they were able to land well. They were able to land okay. And tragically, they did lose one woman's life on the flight. But they were able to come inbound. And what's kind of interesting about that story is, as it would happen, the oxygen masks popped down from the plane. And I don't know if you caught this, but a lot of those people did not put the oxygen mask on properly, right? They had it over their mouths. not their mouths and their nose. So if they were at any other higher point than they were, they probably would have passed out and, God forbid, lost their lives. And I just can't help but think of the many times we get on flights and we hear the flight attendant's message over and over and over, and we're listening but not really listening. You know, we think we got what she or he has to offer us, right? We know the steps to take care of ourselves if something, God forbid, happens with the flight. But something so simple as that they probably thought they knew well. They missed it. They could have lost their lives. It's a poor example, but I just can't help but think of it. When it comes to God's word, when it comes to his living word, we often wrestle with listening to it. We often wrestle with listening to God and his gospel, despite the fact that we know, as we just read, that in the end, God is going to undo reality as we know it. He's going to establish, as he already is, but he's going to fully and finally establish his kingdom. And so even those of us who have been in the church, maybe our whole lives, knowing pretty well the message of the gospel, pretty well knowing God and what he's up to and what he's going to do, we often struggle to listen to his gospel. And so because of that, we got to sit in these moments. We've got to sit and realize that God is going to judge all of creation fully and finally. And so we must continuously listen. We must continuously have our ears open to listen to the gospel at all times. And I know that's not a surprising statement. You know, if you're coming here for something a little more remarkable, I'm sorry. I know we know that well, but look at it, this again in verse 25, the beginning of it. It says, "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking." So who's speaking here? God is. God is the one who's speaking, and do not refuse him who is speaking over you. And so it's critical to point out that he is a speaking God, that he is a speaking God. He speaks continuously. If you put your finger right here and you move back to the very beginning of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, was give us the kind of the flavor of this. It says, "Long ago at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Even last week, we saw verses 18 through 24, sort of this juxtaposition, this distinction between the law and the gospel, the old covenant and the new, the promise and the fulfillment. We saw that there were a people who gathered at Mount Sinai. Look at verse 19. It says, "There was a sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them." That's not us. We are of the new covenant people. As we saw in verse 24 of last week, we've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. So let's just come under that right now this morning and realize that our God is a speaking God. He has spoken, but he's also speaking, all right? And so because of that reality, because God's judgment of the world and all of creation suspends in our minds as a future reality, we must listen to the gospel at all times. Every single day, we must listen to the gospel. We must preach the gospel to ourselves. We talk with that kind of language a lot. Preach the gospel to yourselves and preach it to other people. Being fully aware of texts everywhere in the Bible that tell us there are false gospels. Not that there is another one. Remember Paul in his letter saying, "I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the gospel that we preach to you." Not that there is another gospel. And if I come and I preach another gospel, or even if an angel in heaven preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. So are we listening? That's my question this morning. Are we listening? Or are we refusing? I mean, why do we do that? Like, why do we refuse news? Like, why do we refuse good news? This is good news, even though it's couched as we just read, and we'll read again, it's couched in a warning. Why do we do that? Like, why? Kids do it every single day. And this could be my Mother's Day plug. But moms, you speak good messages. You speak really good messages into your kids every single day, all the time. And your kids refuse to listen. They refuse to listen to that which is good for their soul. And the reason why is because of unbelief. You know, our kids, they have in their minds and their hearts an alternative value. They have in their hearts and their minds an alternative desire. And so when you, as mothers and parents alike, when you speak into their lives something that is for their good, it doesn't mean they're listening. You're like, you could preach that all day long. Come on, bring it, right? Look, I know your kids are the exception. You're like, well, you don't know, mine's a bundle of joy. And I know they are bundles of joy. I get it. But they're also bundles of sin. And we can kind of joke at that. It's okay. It's not going to kill us. We're all bundles of sin, soaked in the sin curse found all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, where God was a speaking God, and he spoke a good, a clear word to Adam and Eve. And what did they do? What did they do? They listened to a creature rather than their creator. They listened to a creature that they were supposed to have dominion over. And he said, did God actually say? I mean, really, if you think about it, all refusal of God comes from a misunderstanding of God and finding an alternative value elsewhere. That's why we deny good news, because we don't think it's good. We can't see it as good. We can't hear it as good. Think about it like this. I mean, the only reason why anybody would refuse medical attention is because they don't think they need it. You know, I know us guys, we're macho, so, you know, there's a lot of times where I'm denying that I need to check something out. You know, I'll go years before I, all right, I need to get this checked out. Or, you know, we'll deny modern medicine with our cult-like fetish with it not being helpful. And I'm not talking about non-vaxxers. That's a whole other story. That's a whole other sermon. I'm talking about just like those people in their weird religion saying, I don't need to get checked out because that goes against God and his healing. That's another sermon too. I'm talking about the insane person who refuses a tourniquet when they're bleeding out. Right? That's only what an insane person does. They're bleeding out. I don't need a tourniquet. But we do it every single day. People do it every single day, every single moment. They deny the tourniquet found in the gospel. But here's the thing with the gospel. It's not just a tourniquet for our bleeding out in our souls. The gospel is a whole new life. It is a whole new transplant of life. And we're denying it for lesser things. That's why we need clear, purposeful, relevant, penetrating texts like this in Hebrews that call us out to see that we do not refuse him who is speaking. So let's just do this. Let's read 25 and 26 again and just kind of hear that. It's a good news, okay? It's a good news that is couched in a warning. And what's happening here is, well, let's just read it. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, right? Now that points back to Mount Sinai. Remember last week, we were looking at, in the beginning of 18 through 24, we were looking at a people who were at Mount Sinai receiving the law, receiving the old covenant with God in Israel. And if they didn't escape, he goes on to say, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. So then that points to Christ, who's reigning and ruling as Lord and King over us now in the new covenant. He goes on, at that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Do you see what he's doing there? He's making a lesser to greater argument. It's a really good argument. He's taking what is less and contrasting it with what is greater. So that is those who came to Mount Sinai, who received the old covenant, who received the promise in the law, if they had no place to escape and run from God's righteousness and his judgment, how much less will we who have come to the promise that is fulfilled in Christ, how will we have anywhere to run? We don't. There is no hiding from the coming judgment of God upon sin, apart from God who judges sin. The judge is the justifier. And the one who's going to shake loose all of creation like dust is the very one that we run to and hide in his kingdom. The kingdom that he has purchased for us by the cross. But we must listen. We must see that we do not refuse him who is speaking. We must listen to Christ who all the way back in Mark chapter 1, verse 15 says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, I realize at this point, you might be feeling a bit of, I don't know if the word embarrassment's a good one, but sometimes it seems kind of outdated, kind of preachy in all the wrong sense of the word. It's like, we get it already. God has something he's going to do. There's rejection, there's warning, there's judgment, there's wrath, there's repentance. I mean, I know we see the street corner prophet or preacher who holds out his picket sign with turn or burn. And we're like, and I get it. I mean, we have hesitancy with that. Like, there's a really legitimate reason to be hesitant with preaching like that. But here's the thing, friends. If the gospel is good news, if it's worth our souls to sit here and see if we are listening, I mean, the way we look at that is we want to say, if it's good news, why don't we just listen to the good? Why don't we just listen to the love and the grace and the mercy of God, to which we must reply, we would not know of the love and the grace and the mercy of God if it was not for the justice of God that is coming. It's important to realize that our rejection of the speaking of God does not happen overnight, usually. It's usually years and years tacked on of frustration and doubt, frustration and fear that leads a person to no longer see God for who he truly is or what he has spoken to us. What about you? Are you listening to the speaking God? Or are you refusing him because of unbelief, because of doubt, because of frustration, because of fear, because of depression, because of anxiety? What kinds of things are getting in the way of us hearing clearly his good news? So, clearly, the author of Hebrews wants to draw attention to the fact that God is not done working. Right? Because he's not done speaking. And I know it might not feel like it, friends, but God has crystal clear plans set in motion long ago, being fulfilled by the speaking of his son, and are coming to completion in the future as he undoes all unrighteous reality. So in 26 and 27, the author of Hebrews, he's actually quoting here. So if in your English translations, you have quotations and around, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. He's quoting. Now, we wouldn't know that unless we saw the quotations. But even then, we might assume that this is just from the Exodus account. Since we were there last week, we were seeing the old covenant juxtaposed against the new covenant. And we might just say, well, that's where it's from, right? Well, actually, it's not. It's from the prophet Haggai. Now, Haggai is an interesting time for God's people. Those people had somewhat recently returned from being in exile. They were in captivity to the Babylonians. They were back in their land. But the thing is, the temple was destroyed. Okay, and we hear that a lot, you know, God's temple destroyed, people in captivity, but that's such a significant time period for us to realize and to consider. And they were actually supposed to be rebuilding the temple because along with God being a speaking God, he is also the God who dwells with his people. Okay, he is just all about his people. He speaks to them. He dwells among them. And so it was very important that they finished the work of rebuilding the temple. But you know what? They were afraid. They were afraid to rebuild. They doubted God. They doubted his word. And they were not listening to him. And instead, they lived in paneled houses, as the prophet says. They were living in houses put together while God, the God of the universe, was over here, so to speak, in his shambles. And that's not to say that God was like roaming the streets, like trying to find somewhere to live. Like, that's not the point. It was a picture of a people who were denying their creator the dwelling place among them. And they were instead caring about their worldly status over their eternal. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read a bit from Haggai because it's so fitting. And it's actually part of the quote. So this is Haggai chapter 2, verses 3 through 9. This is the word of the Lord through the prophet Haggai. Who is left among you? Who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while, so here's the quote, I will shake, he says, sorry, I read the wrong one. My spirit remains in you, fear not, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Do you see what's happening? God is speaking into his people to not be afraid. Not be afraid of what is happening in your life. I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt, like an impossibility on all worldly standards to be brought out of the greatest nation in its day and age. And I did that. I shook the earth when I made a covenant relationship with you. And I'm going to do it again. And that time it's going to be more significant. It's going to shake like dust all of creation, not just the earth, but the heavens. So are you listening? Are you listening to the speaking God, or are you refusing? What in your life right now is hindering your eyes, your ears, your hearts, your minds from contemplating the goodness of God? Let's read verse 28 again. Chapter 12 of Hebrews. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I was looking at this text, I really wanted to spend all of the time in verse 28 and 29. I mean, can you blame me? Like, it's good. It's so good. But there was something just stirring in me about my own soul, my own life, where it's really important to understand we will only ever be grateful for the kingdom of God if we have received the speaking of God. Right? I mean, it's not like you can just walk into the kingdom of God and be like, all right, I'm here. Now I'm going to figure out what God's up to. Like, that's not how it works. You don't get to just happen into his kingdom and then try to love him afterward and listen to him. Now, I'll say that while we are in the kingdom, it does fuel more and more of our listening, and therefore more of our listening will fuel more of our gratitude for his works. But we cannot be grateful if we have not received through listening. You're only ever grateful. You're only ever grateful for what you have when you realize that you could have had the opposite, more or less. You know the phrase, be grateful for what you have. Again, another Mother's Day plug right there. I'm not trying to do that on purpose. Like, seriously, that's the message that my mom spoke to me all the time, especially around the dinner table. Be grateful for what you got, you know? All the stuff you've got. Be grateful that you have that. I mean, you didn't even earn it, and you're over there complaining about it. But this reality of being grateful for what you have, it's really highlighted here in verse 28. Because what we have has not been earned, but it's been given. That's what is meant by the word received. And what do we receive? We receive the kingdom that cannot be shaken. It's not made. It's not a made kingdom. It is the collective church who are gathered under the lordship of King Jesus, who is reigning in this empire already. If we have, by God's grace, listened to the gospel, received the gospel, make much of the gospel, then the evidence is ever before us. I mean, we all like to receive good news, right? We all like to receive it. Obviously, whether it's from a doctor or whatever, when the opposite could have been true. I think a few weeks ago I talked about one of my dogs that, like, just a comical episode in my life where he got bit, then Lauren got bit, then I'm just sitting there and not knowing what to do with these people. But the same dog, he's been having some issues, and so we had to take him to the vet last week. And, you know, we're not trying to be morose up here, but we were pretty much expecting, you know, a few weeks left with him, and we received the opposite. We received good news from the vet. And that's a good feeling. Like, you're like, I feel really relieved right now. Like, there's a weight that just got lifted. And I know it's a dog. It's not that significant. But it is to us because, you know, he's our little fur baby. But we love to receive good news. It just lifts our souls. It lifts our spirits in that moment when what could have been is not, and we received the better thing. So how much more then when we receive the greater news that we are not of those who will be righteously undone in the coming judgment of God? Listen, the gospel is not, I want us to sit really clear with this. The gospel is not a selection. It is not an option, though we do treat it that way and people treat it that way. It is not. It is an ultimatum. That's why these texts are so important. We have to sit in the reality that there is a judgment that is coming and that God is going to deal with all unrighteousness either by the cross or in that future and final day. So we either repent and believe, repent and receive, or we don't. And we want people to consider Jesus and contemplate him. And we want people, if you're here and you are not a Christian, like you are loved and you have a safe place to consider Jesus and think about his claims. But at the end of the day, I have to be clear. Jesus is not an option. His gospel message is not an option. He is very clearly speaking very clearly his news over us. And we must not refuse it. You might ask yourself, well, how do I know? How do I know if I have received? How do I know if I've listened to the speaking God? And to which I would reply, are you grateful? Are you grateful? And I don't just mean appreciative for some future blessing. I mean, right now, are you delighting in God? Do you come before God with pleasing and acceptable worship? I mean, do we sit in reverence and awe of the God who is a consuming fire, as it says? Or are we casual, flippant, bored? Look, I know I can get boring. I know I can say things that are unhelpful and wrong. But I just want, if you take one thing away from this time together this morning, let it be this. You are loved. You're loved. You are loved by this consuming fire that is our God. His affection for you burns deeper and hotter and brighter than you will ever realize. He has given you the kingdom of his son because he killed his son. The kingdom that we received was purchased. It was bought by the blood of the king of that kingdom. All because we refused to listen. All because we refused and we followed after alternative values. And yet he still loves us and he still grabs us by his affection for us and gives us new life through his son. And he has made crystal clear his plans, made crystal clear his warnings, what he has done, what he can do, what he will do, all because of unrighteousness. And so he desires in this moment, friends, that you would listen, that you would receive, that you would make much of what he is speaking, has been speaking through this entire letter that we've been seeing for the past few months. He has spoken long ago, many ways, through many prophets, but now he speaks through his son, who is the righteous ruling king over this kingdom that we've received. And so, my friends, if you're bored with God, bored with the things of God, if this is a thing, just a thing we do, it might be that you're distracted and therefore not able to listen to God speaking to you. You have all these other messages being spoken, all these other voices that are just buzzing around you. And as much as that can truly happen to truly Christian people, it might often more indicate that your heart has not been changed, that you're refusing the speaking God. I mean, is that, after all, at the end of the day, is that not the Grinch example? I mean, come on. You got this guy or thing refusing to listen to the message of Christmas. And I know we're Christians, their message of Christmas wasn't even the right one, but just go with me here. He didn't get it, right? And so he thought he could just take it away and then silence. But no. He totally missed. He was listening to the wrong message, if you will, of Christmas. And so once that reality set in and it kind of popped open, burst open a whole new world for him, his heart grew. I mean, his heart, he actually gained a heart. And so I wonder, though, if many of us in this room are so distracted, and not by crying babies, like that's a thing. It's not a big deal. I'm talking about like things outside of what's happening in this room right now. The things in your life. We could sit here all day and list out unbelievable amounts of things. Some things that I, who've been through some things in my life, couldn't even fathom what you're going through. Some of the horrific scenarios that some of you are walking through right now. And so I tread very lightly on that reality. I do not mean to say so flippantly that you're bored with God. I'm saying there are things that are happening that we don't even realize in us, and around us. And so my question is, are you listening to the Lord, or are you refusing him? Again, what kind of sickness, what kind of loss, what kind of gain are you drenched in right now that is speaking so loud that you cannot hear the God of the universe speak to you the goodness of his Son and the coming day of undoing of all unrighteousness? You cannot hear the speaking of a kingdom that has been given that we should receive with deep gratitude. And when we come before the Lord, yes, in the moment of singing songs, but so much more than that, because we know worship's more than that, is it deep into our bones and our souls an awe, a reverence? And so let me just speak into this moment to some of you who are just flat out worn out. Some of you who are just so tired. Your battle has been going on and on, whether it's chronic sickness, chronic mental exhaustion. You need this word from the Lord. You need this word that says that the world is passing away. This world that you're so entrenched in that you think defines you, it doesn't define you. As a Christian, it does not define you. So your sickness does not define you. The free gift of grace received in the kingdom, my brothers and sisters, that is what defines you. And so again, to the distracted and the careless, some of us who are so flippant, so bored with the things of God, I ask you, you know, you may see and hear the gospel, but you do not see and hear the goodness of the gospel. You're caught up with the cares of this world, like the people in Haggai's day, making idols out of whatever, paneled houses, I don't know. Are you listening to God, or are you refusing him? Let's pray.